Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7, reading verse 2. Daniel spake and said, "I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea." Heavenly Father, help us as we open your word. You said in Revelation that the prophecies of this book, that if we simply read them, we'll be blessed. Lord, I want to do more than read. I want to understand what your word says. Your word is life. Your word helps us. Lord, your word is from heaven and transcends anything else that we can look at and look to. Please teach us out of thy word. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor in the magnificent name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I began to teach last time from the prophetic portion of the book of Daniel, and I gave, I guess, an introduction to his prophecies. And I said that he lived before the advent of Christ, the first coming of Christ. But he prophesied of the end times, certainly, but he also prophesied of the birth of Christ. Many times as you read through the Old Testament, there'll be a prophecy of the birth of Christ. And then, maybe the next phrase, maybe the next verse or two, it begins to talk about the second coming of Christ. We know that Christ is one. We know that he comes twice to this earth. First, to be born and to die for our sins. And secondly, the second time, he comes not as a humble servant, but as king, king of the whole earth and king of heaven. But in studying the prophecies of Daniel, a verse that I am drawn to again and again is in chapter 10, chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 14. Where the angel says, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days," and of course speaking of the Jews, "for yet the vision is of many days." I believe that the great tribulation will soon come upon the earth. I believe that the rapture could occur at any moment. The Bible teaches such, but last time we looked at one of the signs of the times, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. And I believe that we have seen the fig tree put forth his leaves and begin to bud. I believe that the end is very close. Things in the Middle East these days are heating up. I read just the other day that the King of Jordan supposedly said that he thinks that there'll probably be war in the Middle East by sometime this summer. Now, is he predicting the future? I think he's just giving his opinion based on the things that he knows as leader of an Islamic state. But the fact remains that most of Islam hates Israel, and in public statements they say again and again and again that they want to completely destroy it and push every Jew and all of Israel into the sea. But this verse I just quoted, "Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people, the Jews, in the latter days." God loves Israel, and the great tribulation is meant to help Israel. It's going to be a horrible time, and as a matter of fact, we're going to get to a verse in just a minute that illustrates that. It's going to be an absolutely horrible time for the world, but mainly for the Jews. They're going to suffer. But the Bible says that every nation that comes against Israel, God will destroy. Because Israel is the apple of God's eye. It's in Israel and the city Jerusalem that God chose to place His name. It's in Jerusalem that God sent His Son, the Messiah, to die for the sins of the world. God has not forgotten the Jews. And I want to say that this ministry stands for Israel. I support Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I pray that God will help the Jews. And if you're upset with what I said, then I am truly sorry for you. But turn, if you will, to the book of Zechariah. We're going to look at three chapters, the last three chapters of the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14, the last three chapters of this book, has a message for us today. As a matter of fact, let's look at chapter 11 in verse 12. I want to show you something before we get to these other chapters. Zechariah 11, verse 12. And I said unto them, If ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. For they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said unto me, Cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Here we find a messianic prophecy. We understand from reading the Gospels that Judas was paid 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord. And later on he came and cast that money, that blood money, in front of the Sanhedrin's feet and said, No, I don't want it. As I study the Bible and as I read through, and as I said, I prefer to read the Old Testament, but as I read through it, everywhere I look, I see prophecies of Christ. Mainly I see references to the first coming, when Christ came to walk this earth. But we also find references to the second coming. But I love reading these passages. I'll be reading in one book or another, and I'll stumble across one of these, and I'll begin to weep. And I'll stop what I'm doing and begin to spend time thanking my Lord for what He did for us. There is life in the pages of this book. There is help. There is healing. There is hope. There is comfort in the pages of the Bible. If you don't know what to do, if you're perhaps looking to alcohol or drugs to take away the pain, or maybe you're sitting in front of a psychiatrist laying on his couch, I have something better for you. Look to Jesus Christ. The woman at the well, which actually we're going to mention her in just a minute, she found something. She found the answer to the problems of life. Remember, she had five husbands and was shacking up with number six. She found something in Christ that was a well of water springing up into everlasting life in her soul. Christ is your answer. Put the bottle down. Forget the pills. Forget the psychologist. Look to Jesus Christ. He can help you. But Zechariah chapter 12, beginning at verse 1, The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. There is a time coming, the Bible says, when all nations will stand against Israel. The Bible teaches that in the end times, at the last day, if you will, that during the Great Tribulation, all nations, including the United States, if it still exists at that time, will stand against Israel. and try to destroy it. But God says he will make the city of Jerusalem a cup of trembling. And it says in verse 3, "And in that day I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people. All that burden selves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it." Again, to belabor the point, there is a time coming when every nation that can put an army or a navy out to battle will stand against Israel. This is God's doing. It's God's will that this happen. But it says, all that burden themselves with it, with Jerusalem, shall be cut in pieces. There's a battle coming, but in the end, Israel will win. In the end, Israel will be victorious. In verse 8 it says, "In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem." And in verse 9, "It shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem." For 1900 years, Israel was not a nation. In the year AD 70, they were overthrown, they were dispersed, and they did not live in Jerusalem again, like I said, for about 1900 years. But God began to gather them back about 100 or so years ago, and in 1948, Israel became a nation. And again, I know I'm belaboring this point, but this is something I believe that is important. We know that the Jews rejected Christ when he was here on the earth. We read the Gospels and a great many, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, I don't know how many, but a great many people accepted him and wanted to hear his words. But the religious system of that day, the Sanhedrin, what have you, the priests, whatever, they rejected him, and they had him killed by the hand of the Romans. But the Bible says that Christ was slain for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 53 says, "It pleased the Lord to bruise him." And in Daniel, I think it's chapter 9 or 10, it says that Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. Jesus died for the sins of the world. And if we put our trust in him, God will forgive us, and we'll go to live with him when we die. But look at this next verse. Zechariah 12, verse 10. "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." I believe that this verse talks about the day that Christ returns to this earth. Again, 2,000 years ago, the Jews rejected Christ. But one day, the one that they rejected will return. Christ will return. And again, I'm happy that I'm a Christian. I'm happy that I'm waiting for the rapture. I'm happy to know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And from a Christian perspective, Jesus is my Lord, and I'm pleased to be able to state that. But I'm a Gentile. I was grafted in. Christ came first to save the Jews, and then the Gentiles. And when Christ returns, he'll return to defend Jerusalem and to be the king of the Jews. But when he returns, the Jews will be faced with the truth that the one that they crucified is the one that comes to save him. And they will mourn, it says, for Christ. "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced." Remember Thomas. He said, "I won't believe until I see the print of the nails in his hand and the place where the spear pierced his side. And when Christ appeared to him, he said, Thomas, come here, please. Look at my hands. Look, put your finger where the nails were. Here, stick your fingers in my side. Just as Thomas did, the Jews as a whole, as a nation, will have to do the same. They'll be faced with the reality that the one that we know as Jesus Christ has returned for them and is the Messiah that they've been seeking all these years. Let's look at chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitant of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. A fountain flowing in Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. That is Christ. That speaks of Christ and his first coming. Remember the woman at the well. She tasted of that living water, that fountain in Jerusalem, flowing for sin and uncleanness. Again, a reference to the first coming of Christ. And oh, how precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. Hallelujah. In verse 6, And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thine hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Christ was rejected of the Jews, but he doesn't call them enemies, because they are beloved for the Father's sakes, Paul said. But God calls the Jews that crucified his Son friends. What are these wounds in thine hands? And he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Again, the message is clear. Christ is coming back, and the Christians shout his praises and have been doing so for 2,000 years. But the Jew again will praise him in Jerusalem. The one that they've rejected and said, no, he's not the one, they'll one day have to admit that he in fact is the one that they have been looking for. When Jesus ascended into heaven in the book of Acts chapter 1, they were looking into heaven and saying, wow, look at that. But an angel came and stood beside them and said, why are you looking into heaven? Don't worry. When he comes back, every eye will see him. And he's going to come back just as you saw him go. In the clouds of heaven, he'll return. But in verse 4 of Zechariah chapter 14, it says, And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof, toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. We know that Christ is coming back, and it says that his feet, when he touches down on the earth, is going to be on the Mount of Olives, or Olivet. And he is God. Make no mistake, Jesus Christ is God. The first time he rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, but when he comes back, it'll be in the clouds of heaven, and his feet, when he touches down, will split the Mount of Olives. The Bible says that every eye will see him when he returns, and he's going to set up his kingdom that will last for 1,000 years. Remember in Daniel chapter 2, that stone from heaven came and smote the image that Nebuchadnezzar had dreamed on the feet, and crumbled the feet, and the legs, and the rest of the body and the head, crumbled it all down, and ground it to a powder. And then a wind from heaven came and blew it away. And then the stone increased in size and became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Christ is coming back to this earth. I want to say it again. Jesus Christ is coming back to the earth. And make no mistake, he's coming back for the Jews. He's coming back to Jerusalem to fight for Israel. Every nation at that last battle will stand against Israel and Jerusalem to try to destroy her. But Christ, God from heaven, remember his name is Emmanuel, God with us. Christ will come from heaven, God come in the flesh, but come back not as one sitting on the back of a donkey, but as King, the King of Israel, the Son of David. He will come and destroy these nations that fight against Israel. And he will set up his kingdom that will never pass away. In verse 12, And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongues shall consume away in their mouths. He'll destroy the wicked, it says in Psalms, I believe, with the breath of his nostrils. And in Revelation it says the word of God would go out of his mouth and destroy the wicked. Now, I have preached a very strong message, but I preached one straight out of the word of God. But remember, there's a fountain flowing in Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Come to him, and he will watch over you.
There is a name I love to whisper. Any time of day or night, and oh, the peace that accompanies its mention. No tongue can tell, no pen can write. Whisper, Jesus, I love you, and if we then would please our Master, then we would praise him more. Oh, how he loves Jesus, I love.
Old Paths Tabernacle is an evangelistic outreach of the Joey Kelly Broadcast. If you like good singing and good preaching and are looking for Sunday night services to attend, please consider yourself invited. If you're coming from New Orleans East Bank, take the G&O or the Crescent City Connection to the West Bank Expressway and get off at Manhattan. Go through the Harvey Tunnel and turn right at the red light, which is MacArthur. Go 2 blocks and turn right at the fire station onto 8th Street. Go 3 blocks and turn right. Old Paths Tabernacle is right on the corner, meeting in Waymaker Ministry Sanctuary, 804 First Avenue in Harvey. If you're coming from the Huey or Boutee, get on the elevated expressway, then get off at MacArthur and turn left at the light. Remember, our services start at 6 p.m. on Sunday evening, and I hope to see you there. Lord, take me back. Lord, take me back to the old land. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today, and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9. Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.